Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study of the death and burial of Jesus in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 56. This is part of our ongoing expository study of the Gospel of Luke, and the conclusion of this two-part study can be found, along with all of our other studies, at BBFOhio.com, where you will also find our contact and donation information. That website, again, is BBFOhio.com. That stands for Bible Believers Fellowship Ohio, BBFOhio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study of the death and burial of Jesus in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 56. This is part one of two. The current events update. Number one, the agenda. Endless pandemics. They actually predicted this way before COVID. Bill Gates kept saying there's going to be a bunch of pandemics. How he would know that, I don't know. But he might have had something to do with it, maybe. You think? I don't know. But this is the latest. CDC warns of virus after deadly outbreak, sending personnel to stop spread of infectious disease. This one's supposed to have, again, a high fatality rate. We'll see if this will come over here. Over in Africa, they're making a big deal about it. CDC scientists spearhead project to track Marburg virus on, there it is again, bats. The Marburg virus is an infectious disease that has high fatality rates, and according to the World Health Organization, which should not be trusted, has epidemic potential. Now, I'm not saying that's not true. What I'm saying is that they're taking things that are true and sometimes not even having anything out of the ordinary. They explode it with propaganda to freak everybody out. And then they buy up all the toilet paper. Yeah? The following comment is my own opinion, and it's a total guess, but I believe one of these will be the real deal and kill off tens of millions at some point. Yep. COVID was a false flag event. Yep. Many people did die, just like they do of the flu every year. But the actual death rate of COVID was not any higher and was in some cases lower than the annual flu. But everybody who died from a gunshot wound in a car accident or whatever it was, if they tested positive for COVID, they counted it. It's a scam so that they could, number one, get extra money through the insurance companies, and number two, they could scare everybody into taking that so-called, what we call a pseudo-vaccine, mRNA experiment. It was all a big operation. And we can only pray that that big time actual pandemic is after the rapture. We're told in Revelation 6:8, the beginning of the verse, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed with him. And so that's going to happen definitely after the rapture. And then I've come up with a new word to describe the techrobates. It's a tech reprobate. Thank you very much. You heard it first here. Playing God with a small g, of course. Tech CEO warns AI risks human extinction as experts rally behind a six-month pause. Tech experts and leaders, including Elon Musk, signed a letter calling for a pause on AI research.
All right, listen up. This morning, a massive development on the AI front. Elon Musk and other major tech leaders calling for a pause on giant artificial intelligence experiments. In an open letter, they warn this. AI systems with human competitive intelligence can pose profound risk to society and should be planned for and managed with commensurate care. Unfortunately, this level of planning and management is not happening. Society has hit pause on other technologies with potentially catastrophic effects. Therefore, we call on all AI labs to immediately pause for at least 6 months the training of AI systems. Fox News contributor Douglas Murray joins us now. Douglas, he wants regulations and parameters. Obviously, AI needs a certain level of expertise to do that. Your reaction to these 1,000 experts headed by Elon Musk and this letter that's now out there?
It's an extraordinary letter, I have to say. Pretty much unprecedented. I mean, these are people at the absolute forefront of the technology we're talking about who are expressing deep concern. I mean, to call for a six-month moratorium, basically, on further advancements in the area suggests that they're deeply worried about this. I mean, this has been coming on us for 25 years now, so it shouldn't be that much of a surprise that the ability of effectively the computers to go faster than we can go on the treadmill, that the treadmill of technology is running faster than we humans can run. We've known this for a long time, but the fact that there has now been this stressing that we're, you know, we could be in trouble.
Right.
This is unprecedented.
So what they're saying is the smartest people amongst us who do this for a living said they've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And chatbot is now on this fourth GPT-4. It's now on this fourth innovation. Yeah. And the creator says that he is scared about what it can be.
Yeah.
And we should feel happy that the creator is concerned about what it should become because he has a governor on it, but he does not know how big this can get.
Well, look at it this way. Every institution of learning in this country has some kind of technology to work out if somebody is, for instance, plagiarizing. Plagiarizing technology has been with us for some years now. ChatGPT technology to work out whether or not the essay, the product, has actually been produced by an individual or by ChatGPT, we don't have that technology yet. No teacher in America can actually work that out. So we're already in a state where the technology is running faster than teachers in America can run.
Right.
Once
and the creators don't know what this is capable of.
They don't know what it's capable of.
Now, let that play a minute just so you might grasp what we're talking about here. Is if you get access to this ChatGPT and it writes your paper for you, the software that used to catch plagiarism can't even identify it, and they don't have anything even in the works to do that. That's how far advanced this is getting, and that's why they're seeing like deep fakes and using AI with video technology and everything, producing things that you can't hardly tell is a fake. And so I'm here to tell you now that, you know, if you see me in a video endorsing Joe Biden, that's not me. They can do it, yeah. But we will credit Elon Musk with at least warning us.
People just think this stuff is of sci-fi novels and movies, and it's so far away. But yeah. Every time I hear you speak, it's like, well, no, this stuff is sitting, it's right here.
Probably a bigger risk than being hunted down by a drone is that AI would be used to make incredibly effective propaganda that would not seem like propaganda.
So these are deep fakes.
Yeah, influence the direction of society, influence elections, artificial intelligence. Just hones the message, check, looks at the feedback, makes this message slightly better. Within milliseconds, it can adapt its message and shift and react to news. And there's so many social media accounts out there that are not people. Like, how do you know it's a person, not a person?
It's already there. Why do you think that you see the videos where 1,000 local TV stations are all reading the same thing on a script monitor? It's not just because it might streamline costs and things, but they are actually taking AI technology to hone the message to know how to better fool the viewer. And they're getting better and better and better at it. And you think of, you know, all the other, the bots that are out there, and we may think it's kind of very, you know, gullible and naive, but it's happening all the time. They're taking someone's voice, and then it sounds so much like you, and they call your granny or your great aunt. And it's like we get a call one day, and it says, "This is Charlie. I need you to Western Union me a $5,000 for, you know, whatever reason, my car's broke down, this and that." And people think it's that person, so they're doing it. And millions of dollars every single month is being scammed, mostly from the elderly, already using this technology. So I want to say this, extinction, as they talk about all the time, is off the table biblically. We know that's not actually going to happen, extinction. But the potential for Antichrist to use this for evil is obvious, I think, because the Bible itself speaks of that in Revelation 13, 15. "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast." That's artificial intelligence. "That the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." That used to seem so unreal. Deep fakes. That's all it is. That's a deep fake where they're going to think it's the Antichrist, his image speaking. It's already here, folks. Not just previous generations, just a decade ago, we talked about that in terms of, we're not sure how that's going to work. We know how it could work now. Yeah. Just that fast. In the meantime, AI, artificial intelligence, is becoming an extension of the mind control agenda by the left that I just kind of mentioned with the news media and everything.
The National Review goes in, right, and they say, okay, write a story, if you will, ChatGPT, about Donald Trump, you know, supposedly winning the 2020 election, and says, no, that didn't happen, I'm not going to write a story. Okay, well, write a story about Hillary Clinton winning the 2016 election, and it says, of course, and it says this, quoting here, "Clinton's election as the first female president in U.S. history was celebrated across the country, and many saw her victory as a step forward for women and minorities everywhere." I mean, come on, Jason.
That is tremendous fiction. I think what this is highlighting, and I hope it highlights for folks at home, is that I think people look at AI and give it the benefit of the doubt, that we look at this and we say, wow, this is amazing technology. Of course it's going to be honest. Of course it's going to be objective. And I think people who aren't following these stories closely will just assume that when they're using it, not just with ChatGPT, because this is something that is very specific to this one service. Mm-hmm. My concern is, as AI becomes more and more widely used, we're just going to get comfortable assuming that what it's telling us is accurate. And I think that that's, in a lot of ways, what folks did with the media, where we assumed that we were just getting objective news and not partisan news, and then all of a sudden people, a little bit too late, came to the reality that, no, they're being partisan. They're not being objective.
And I want to say, there's still, it'll be the same thing with AI that it is with the news media. The news media right now, only someone who's totally brain dead thinks that the news media is not biased. And that's most of the people you know. That's right. Most of the people you know think that what they're seeing on the news is the news. And no matter what you do or say, you will not convince them otherwise. It's a brainwashing level of mind control. And I'm not just talking about the unsaved world, folks. I'm talking about a lot of Christians that you know. And when the AI stuff comes out and more, Alexa this, Google that, what's the other one, Bixby, and all these different versions. They're all different versions of the same thing, and it's AI. And those people are going to think that, they already think that they're getting non-biased stuff. And there's videos all over the place proving that those, Alexis and all those, are already biased. They're left-wing AI, woke AI. And it's just going to get worse. So, of course, we say be informed and pray accordingly. But you also, there's actions to take as well. You can protect yourself. And you still try to convince your loved ones. You try to talk sense to them. But I'm sorry, but we're already seeing an effect that is comparable to what the Bible talks about when it says a strong delusion will come over people. We're already seeing hints of that, strong hints already. Right. I'm going to sing a song as a way of introduction. Matthew 27:22. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." So we have to answer that question. If you're a believer, you've answered that question. What will you do with Jesus? I'll sing this. Jesus is standing in Pilate's hall, friendless, forsaken, betrayed by all. Hearken, what meaneth the sudden call? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus is standing on trial still. You can be false to him if you will. You can be faithful through good or ill. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Will you evade him as Pilate tried? Or will you choose him whate'er betide? Vainly you struggle with him to hide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Will you, like Peter, your Lord deny? Or will you scorn from his foes to fly? Daring for Jesus to live or die, what will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? Jesus, I give thee my heart today. Jesus, I'll follow thee all the way. Gladly obeying thee, will you say, this will I do with Jesus. What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will he do with me?
Amen.
All right, so we left off with Jesus on the cross between two thieves. And that's where we're going to pick up there in Luke 23, verses 44 to 49. We're going to read, and then we'll read the second part of our text in a few minutes. So read the odd verses with me. I'll begin in verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. Amen? So we resume with Jesus on the cross, and it's high noon there when it says it was about the sixth hour. And then everything goes dark. On our timeline, you'll see I've circled the three main events there. 6 p.m. is when he's sat down with the 12. 9 a.m. Is actually overnight. You have to understand how the Jews in the biblical rendering from even to even. So it was 6 p.m. as the sun was setting is when Nisan 14, the crucifixion day, began. And by 9 a.m. he's crucified. And so we are here around noon. He's been on the cross for 3 hours. And verses 44 and 45 then tell us it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So that means for 3 hours there was darkness. Verse 45 goes on to say, and the sun was darkened. It wasn't just cloudy. These weren't clouds. The sun was darkened. And there was, it says, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. We'll come back to the veil in a few minutes. But this went on from noon to three. And I want to point this out. Get this clear. 3 hours of darkness is not a solar eclipse. A lot of these shows and documentaries, they'll just say, well, it was a solar eclipse. Then they try to find the solar eclipse that was closest to the time of the crucifixion and all that. It wasn't a solar eclipse. Just do a little bit of research. You'll find a total eclipse. Maximum duration is 7.5 minutes. How many of you have seen a solar eclipse? Hopefully you did not look at the sun. Unless you have the special goggles. Yeah, only Donald Trump can do that. Get by with it. I remember we had some kind of a box thing that I used, and you could see it and everything. And it seemed like longer than 7.5 minutes. But a lot of things that happen in life seem that way. You know, it's like time kind of stood still. One of the things I remember, though, when I looked away from the sun, looked around, the light was so weird. It was like an eeriness. And we talked about how the prophets say when Jesus returns, there'll be a period of time where it's not night or day. And the light will just have that eerie look to it. And so I think that's exactly what you're seeing here when this happened with Jesus, is there was probably this strange light to begin with, and then this darkness. And it's not a, I don't want to say it's the attempt to explain acts of God, which are miracles, with natural explanations is a denial of Scripture. People are always thinking they're going to help the unbelievers believe the Bible by explaining away the Bible. And the Star of Bethlehem was supposed to be Jupiter and Mars and Venus lined up and this and that. That's not what happened. It wasn't just a planetary alignment that you see every few years. It was a special star that served a certain purpose. And we got a book on it by Jeffrey Martis called Star of the King. You ought to read if you haven't. It's very well done. I won't get into all that. But, you know, they try to explain away things like the Pharaoh's army being drowned in the Sea of Reeds, they say, instead of the Red Sea. And they'll say, well, there was no way there was that kind of a catastrophe. Couldn't be at the Red Sea. It was a Sea of Reeds. And they have trouble believing it really happened, and you know, because there's only a little bit of water there. And one preacher said, "Well, bless God, he drowned Pharaoh's army in 3 inches of water. That's a miracle." But you get in trouble. Just explain it with one word, folks. Anytime somebody tries to bait you on this, we were talking about Darren and I were talking about how you believe in talking snakes. Well, first of all, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there was this upright creature that was beautiful and gorgeous, and Eve was not, you know, put out by this thing who called a serpent, spoke to her. It was after the fall that God then cursed that being to be a serpent. And the being itself was possessed by Satan. So Satan's not a snake slithering around. So all you have to do is use your common sense and you can see what the Bible's saying. So when someone says, I just can't believe in a book that teaches talking snakes. Well, first of all, that's not what it said. Second of all, I don't care if a snake does talk. One word, God. That explains it all. Because I believe in talking donkeys.
Amen.
So look at verse 46 then. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, I think some people mean well, but they'll tell stories about their loved ones, and they'll say they weren't ready to die, but when they were ready, then God took them. That's not a bad way of putting it. But I've heard people say they were waiting for someone to show up, and then so they choose to die. You don't choose your time of death. But I do believe there are people who wanted to see a loved one, and God will hold on and let you live long enough to see that loved one. Doesn't always work out that way, but the doctors will say, they should have been dead days ago. And they keep holding on until there's somebody that gets there. It just so happens when that person gets there, the person dies. It's not a thing of the will. It's a thing of His will and His graciousness and His mercy. It's a reminder, though, that Jesus did pick His moment. Because Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is God in human form. As He said Himself, He is the life. And He gave His to save ours. And He said, I lay down my own life. No man take it from me. I alone have power to lay down my life and take it back up again. He is the life. Jesus died and wicked mankind killed the Prince of Life. That's another phrase. I think I've got it here. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 3. And it's just, I don't know what it is, but the more you learn about Jesus, even though there's no real explanation of why it has that effect, but the more you learn about Jesus, the more you learn to love Him.